You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
Eden
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Eden's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Yeah, let's hear it for ASAP, Ferg.
Okay. And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Did he ever do anything with Bam Bam Bigelow?
Tremendous.
You know what? The other guests I would have had. Any history with the body, Jesse Ventura?
In the ring, not so much. They had sort of a feud, kind of in real life, if you will. But no, they're not known for having a notable wrestling feud.
I'm not one, Peter, to do any kind of producing or directing for ENN.
I would like
to start off by going to Dave in Brooklyn, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because he says he has an update on Morris.
Well, this is...
Hey, Don, Peter, how you doing?
Dave, what's going on, man? What do you got?
No, I don't have an update on Morris. I was asking if you guys heard anything.
Oh, I see. I was worried about him.
You know?
We are worried about him as well. He called us early on in the pandemic. I want to say late March, early April. We have not heard from him since. Dave, I apologize. Or maybe you had an update.
That's okay. I mean, you know, this is starting to get a little worrisome, you know.
You know, I'm with you. But I'm glad, Dave, that I went to you, because any time that we can kind of let people know or let him know that we miss him and he should try to make an effort to call. So hopefully he just hasn't been able to get through, or maybe he's been busy doing other things or whatever. But I will say this to Morris. Right now, Morris, you might think, well, they don't take calls during ENN. You know what? We take calls during ENN if it's you.
That's
right.
You
agree with that, Peter?
Of course we do.
So if we're in an interview, if we're in ENN,
yep,
you're still open to call, because the lines will be open and we will at least, just to give us an update, even if we don't put you on the air, to find out if you're okay. So hopefully he gets that message. But continue, Peter. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. I'm concerned about old Morris. Where's Morris from again? Long Island, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone who has an update, our friend Morris, Rabbi Morris from Long Island, let us know. We haven't talked to him in a long time. Well, Don, this is a big story today, and I wonder if it leaves you concerned or feeling good.
Okay.
The first NFL player that we know of to be booted from a team for breaking COVID rules.
Yes.
This has happened. That's right. The Seahawks have waived rookie quarterback Kima Sivirand earlier this week after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team's hotel. The NFL Network reported that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player, which is hilarious. Supposedly, Coach Pete Carroll's number one rule is always protect the team. On Wednesday, he praised the Seahawks' veteran leaders for sending the right message to the locker room about the need to be disciplined while preparing for the season. So maybe this person was narked out.
Well, let's just unpack the whole dressed as a trying to pretend to be a player.
Phenomenal.
Now, I'm not passing judgment. Everybody's got their own kind of thing. But, you know, unless it's a punter or a kicker, I would think that he must, or it must be known that he just likes women of a certain size, right?
Well, football players is not, it's not generally the body type that you would expect to see. Yeah, it would mean you're looking for a certain type of person. Football players definitely pack a little punch. There's no doubt. I'm just trying to picture. And by the way, what gear makes someone look like a player? Like, is a t-shirt enough? I mean, was she wearing a helmet? Does she have pads on? I don't understand.
Well, it'll also be strange depending on the time. Like, a practice had been over for like 5 hours, and you just see somebody strolling in the parking lot with shoulder pads and a helmet. That might give it away. But come on. I don't know this player. I don't know if he was a highly touted prospect or somebody that was probably going to get cut anyway. I don't know. It wasn't Russell Wilson, so we don't have to worry about that. But
Peter, well, his name isn't Russell Wilson. His name, when you think about it, is actually
Mr. Unlimited.
I know. That's right.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's correct.
But that's just stupid, and you deserve to get cut. Now, Russell Wilson wouldn't get cut.
I like the message, though.
No,
I like.
But it's almost criminal what you're doing. I mean, come on. Like, all right, you could sit there and go, well, come on, what's the chances she has something or whatever, and she's not mingling with the other player? No, but that's not the point. The point is just spitting in the face of protocol, which is very, very important. Because if she did happen to be asymptomatic, and then he gets sick, and then a bunch of other players get sick, it's going to be tough enough to keep these guys healthy.
And he couldn't make it this long. Nothing's even happened yet. It's like, and they, you know, they just got there.
And Bart Scott said it best, and it's true. During training camp, it's like you're in a bubble. All you're doing, especially guys that are just trying to make the team, you go into your room, you're studying playbook, you're studying film, you're going to practice, you're going to bed. So that's kind of the way training camp is. So under normal circumstances, you would be sneaking in any women, which you shouldn't have time. So he probably was going to get cut anyway. He's carving out time he flat out didn't have.
Joe Kelly went on the Big Swing Pod.
Okay.
And had a lot to say about the Astros-Dodgers brawl and the Astros punishment and cheating scandal. Let's hear from Joe Kelly.
The people that took the fall for what happened is nonsense. Yes, everyone's involved. But the way that thing was ran over there was not from coaching staff. It was ran with coaching staff, yes, don't get me wrong. But they're not the head boss in charge of that thing. It's the players. So now the players get the immunity, and all they do is go snitch like a little and they don't have to get fined. They don't have to lose games. They take the livelihood from people who worked hard to become a manager and axed. They take the livelihood from people who work hard to become a GM, axed. So what happened is you get people to snitch and become a rat, and the people who could afford to lose money get immunity. The people who afford could get their names tainted get immunity.
Tell them how you really feel, Joe.
But you know what? That's kind of the first time, honestly, that I've heard that angle. Because we've been complaining, you gave him immunity, it was BS, you didn't have the courage to go up against the Players Association, it made the whole thing bogus. But just how weak the players were to still squeal. Right? Just because they were given immunity doesn't mean they had to go out and tell them what happened. I thought what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. They still threw somebody under the bus. It wasn't another player, but it was still somebody that was on their team. Why did they admit anything?
Now, Joe Kelly also went on to say, they're not respectable men to me. They cheated. Everyone knows they're cheaters. They know they're cheaters. Of course, Kelly was suspended 8 games for his role in that incident with the fight with the Astros, but recently had the ban reduced to 5 games.
I was watching Giants-Astros the other day,
mm-hmm.
And it's the first time I'd seen the Astros since last year, and we've talked so much about them, but to look at them, I say to myself, like, how could anybody even root for this team? I guess the only way you could wrap your mind around it would be, oh, they weren't the only ones doing it. Everybody's doing it. They're just the only ones that got caught. But it's like, how do you just not despise this team?
And a lot of people do.
And Altuve's not hitting. All of a sudden, Altuve's not hitting, Peter. Now, maybe it's just a coincidence, but he's batting under the Mendoza line. He's batting like 180. How bad an optic is that?
In the words of Joe Girardi, it's not what you want. Not what you want. According to Barstool Sports, and now confirmed by ESPN, George Kittle has agreed to a 5-year, $75 million extension with my Super Bowl favorite, the San Francisco 49ers. $40 million guaranteed for injury, which is more than twice that of any other NFL tight end. He'll also get $30 million guaranteed at signing, which is also a record amount, and is over $12 million more than the previous tight end high, Austin Hooper, who got $18 million guaranteed from the Browns. RJ, how do you feel about my Super Bowl pick for your 49ers?
It concerns me a little bit. You're talking very definitively.
I mean, what have you lost? I only know the things you've added. What have you lost?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they lost Emmanuel Sanders, but okay. They drafted a kid, Brandon Ayuk. But the thing that concerns me is your boy, Mr. Unlimited, for whatever reason, he's playing with like lawn gnomes and deck furniture. And for whatever reason, they're always good. You know what I mean?
That is a fact.
The Seahawks, tough division.
They will be 9-7 or 10-6 no matter what.
But it makes me happy to hear all the confidence you have in us going back. How many teams have done that? Like two since like the merger, gone back to back after losing one? Not many.
Because I was just going to see. The only, like, you look at, obviously, let's take New England out of the equation because they're an established team that's been good for a long time. Because they lost to the Eagles, they come back and they beat the Rams. Right? So the Patriots have done it. But who else besides the Patriots has lost a Super Bowl to come back and win it the next year? We're going to have to go back a ways.
That's
Seattle won it, then lost it. But
San Francisco went and then went to a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it just kind of.
Buffalo lost and then lost again. This is sad. No. What's happened?
No, I'm just telling you. Buffalo kept going back and kept losing. That's how far back I'm going. I'm going back to 90 now. It doesn't happen very often.
No. So Florida State players have called out FSU for their lack of virus testing transparency. Three wide receivers, including star Tomori and Terry, have publicly spoken out about Florida State's COVID testing policy for the team, criticizing the school for the lack of transparency. Head coach Mike Norvell called the players' comments disappointing and said that while he'd not read the language specifically, some content he'd been told was untrue. Maybe you want to get the exact information there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just read it before you talk. Just say, no, I haven't seen anything at all. Not yet.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And the NCAA's chief medical officer and advisors all agree that the focus should be on the virus and not on football.
What do you think?
Brian Hainlein, the NCAA's chief medical officer, and the NCAA's two primary infectious disease advisors say the nation's focus should be on controlling coronavirus instead of playing fall sports. With one advisor saying, quote, we simply are not there now.
You know, I should have mentioned this to Howard Cross, and we kind of beat him up pretty good, but I like Howard a lot. But that conversation we had a couple of days ago, how he kind of shut us down because we never played big-time college football. We never been – out of scholarship. We'd never been in that dressing room. We'd never been protected by our coach, right?
Right.
Is Howard Cross a doctor?
No, but he's certainly able to speak on coronavirus.
You know, so... Oh, and by the way, and I'm trying to host a show, so I could be wrong about this. But looking at doing the quick work here, the last time a team lost a Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl the next year, the Dallas Cowboys lost Super Bowl V in 1970, came back the next year to beat the Miami Dolphins in 71. So you're going to be looking to try to do something that has not been done in 50 years.
But guess what? It's going to happen. And everyone's going to remember this moment. Like, remember that random summer dog day when Rosenberg just blurted out early in the preseason, 49ers are winning the Super Bowl. It happened. And it wasn't even that much in question. This team is going to roll this year. You'll see. I feel good about it. Who's your backup quarterback these days, RJ? Is it still CJ?
CJ's around. You also have, I can't think of his name. Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins,
right. Back in football mode, sorry.
Sure, it'll take time. We'll get there. Also, in that story about the NCAA's views on coronavirus, Carlos Del Rio, Executive Assistant Dean at Emory, and a fellow with the Infectious Diseases Society of America, compared the situation to the Titanic. Quote, I feel like the Titanic. We have hit the iceberg, and we're trying to make decisions on what time we should have the band play. We need to focus on what's important. What's important right now is we need to control this virus. Not having fall sports this year in controlling this virus would be, to me, the number one priority.
Yeah, you would think. Wow. Quick correction, by the way. It did happen the following year. So the Cowboys lost in the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl the next year against Miami, and then Miami came back after losing the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl the next year. So you bought it.
So it happened back-to-back.
Happened back-to-back, but not since.
That's fascinating.
It's hard. But, you know, here's the deal. I think they're good. You know, so that wasn't some kind of like, you know, Charger run to the Super Bowl like back when they got killed by the 49ers. They had a bad second half, but they belong there.
100%. And now they're better.
But you know, Peter, every time they lose a tough game, it's going to get thrown back at you. So what about your 49ers pick? So I'm rooting for you, man. I hope you're right.
Trust me. You don't have to worry.
Because I'm feeling a kinship with you today.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't think this show happens with Michael here. And I'm not killing Michael. I'm just saying that a lot happened today that wouldn't have, that list wouldn't have happened.
Oh, no. The frustrating part is how the bias. That's the problem for me, is the bias, you know?
I got no love for wrestling, but I know you do, and I have a little bit of something I wanted to try. I wanted to see if I can get involved.
Well, and by the way, we don't do a show about candy. But Michael still did a repugnant candy list.
It was repug. But I'm going to check with my brother to see, from another person whose wrestling knowledge I respect, whether he would go with your list.
Listen, he may have disagreements with it, but I think he'll take no major exception. I wouldn't think.
That's a gorgeous list.
Thank you. I'm proud of it.
And it wouldn't have happened. And last one standing wouldn't have happened because there would be no need to have Ryan on.
I think Ryan did a tremendous job, too. U.S. Senators Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal unveiled a college athlete's Bill of Rights. It includes a list of items that they see as important rights belonging to college athletes that they hope to soon protect or enforce with federal laws. The College Athletes Bill of Rights intends to provide athletes with a larger voice in the rulemaking process, stronger health and safety standards, extended access to educational opportunities, and more ways to make money, including revenue-sharing agreements like those that exist in professional sports. This could be a big deal.
Well, it's to have somebody kind of just protect you. And sometimes protect you from yourself, right? Because... And this doesn't go for all parents, Peter. But I kind of laugh at the idea that the parents are protecting the student athlete when you know a lot of these parents are living vicariously through their kid.
Oh, sure.
They want them to play because they didn't get a chance to play. And sometimes, you know, and they want to, you want to do right by your kids sometimes by just by caving into what their wishes are. Like Trevor, I don't know Trevor Lawrence's family situation, but if both of his parents are with him, they could be swayed by the fact he wants to play so badly. So even if in their heart they're like, I don't want my son to play, I can't say no to him. Look how bad he wants to play. So to have somebody that can make a decision for you, or at least protect you, that could be involved a lot. But the parents can make phone calls. Are they following the protocol? Are they wearing the masks? Are they going to have as much a say as like somebody that of significance that can be like an agent for them to make sure that everything's being followed, that positive tests aren't being ignored because they want to win a game on Saturday? Stuff like that. You just need some protection. I got nothing. No money and nobody to look out for them.
You know who I would love to have no money and no one to look after them? Would be Dan Snyder. And now a story is breaking that the minority owners of the Washington football team, which include Fred Smith of FedEx, the CEO, Black Diamond Capital Chairman Robert Rothman, and NVR Inc. Board Chairman Dwight Schar, not Schrute, have hired an investment firm to sell their roughly 40% stake in the franchise. However, supposedly, the minority group is pushing and leaning on Snyder to try to get him to sell because new buyers, basically, they stand to make much more money if Snyder will sell as well.
Sure.
So they are supposedly pushing for that to happen.
That's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that none of us know him, yet we know he won't sell?
Well, I mean, look how stubborn he was about the name in the first place. Now, you think that a bunch of investors are going to tell him, you have to sell so that I can make more money off of me selling? He probably thinks that they've jumped ship, and he's going to go down with that ship. And he'll find people to make up that 40%. Don't you think?
I think so. I think if push comes to shove, they'll end up getting out. He'll probably find people to buy it or buy it himself. I mean, couldn't he afford it, too? Is Jerry Jones the 100% owner?
I don't know that. I mean, I would think, but I don't know that for a fact.
I wonder how many of the owners are full 100% owners.
Well, you know, the Giants aren't.
Correct.
But I think the Jets are, right? It's all in the Johnson family, no?
Yeah, we wouldn't know if there was another one.
But you don't know, like, with the Mets, right? You got the Wilpons, but then, like, Bill Maher owns a percentage. Like, there's a little bit that you might have something like that. I don't know.
Don, I was just sent some additional audio here from Zach Plesac, who, the Indians pitcher, was asked to stay away from the team after violating COVID protocol. He went on IG and had a lot to say. Here he is talking about what happened in Chicago.
Out in Chicago, We played the White Sox in a day or a couple days prior to leaving for this trip. The MLB came up with these new protocols that required a curfew and some other things that would keep us more isolated as baseball players and contain us more in like a bubble type sense. And after my start, I went out to dinner with some buddies. We ended up going back to his place. Same group that we went to dinner with, and we opened up baseball cards, picked our top two dudes from each pack, we're throwing bets down, you know, just having a good time, hanging out. We broke curfew, I came back late, and I was reported by MLB security being out in public and coming back late to curfew, and the president of baseball operations decided to quarantine me for 3 days so that just in case, you know, if I was exposed to COVID, then it wouldn't spread to the rest of the team. And it was a great decision on his part. So I did my, you know, my time. I rode in a car service back to Cleveland and I've quarantined for 3 days.
And he was not too happy about how the media handled this story.
the media really is terrible, man. The media is terrible, and they do some evil things to create stories and to make things sound better, makes things sound worse. And truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation surrounding our team. And this is why, based on my feelings, I want to get on here and express the truth to you guys and moving forward, kind of the learning experience and maybe some things taken away from this whole experience.
But what did the media get wrong?
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to know. I mean, did they make it sound... Maybe it sounded like he was being less... Like he was being even more brazen. And he was really out there doing something that was crazier sounding than what he actually did.
Peter, whether you're going out and cow-tipping, you know, going out and looting a JCPenney, whatever. It's not... The idea was he broke curfew. He broke protocol. And to me, it wasn't like he broke protocol because he wanted to see his family or there was some sort of misunderstanding. He went out with a bunch of buddies and broke curfew. He broke the rules. So what are we in the media supposed to do? Ah, well, he was only out with some buddies. He wasn't at a strip club. It wasn't. All right, so but whether it was a strip club or just out with some buddies for dinner, you still broke protocol. You still were someplace you weren't supposed to be. That's the story. Right? So are we supposed to not report it because what he did wasn't as bad as going to a strip club or doing something illegal? Unless something was reported that didn't actually happen, I don't know what his complaint is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he thinks, like, he still went out with a group of people. Does he think the group wasn't, like, that big? Like, I just don't understand what he's trying to express.
I guess what he's looking at is, like I said, he didn't... It was just out with some buddies. Like, he's not getting it. Like, he thinks you get punished if you go out and do something crazy. No, obviously the crazier, the worse, I guess, it looks.
Right. But ultimately, the team doesn't know who your friends are and what they're doing.
Exactly. And you came back to the hotel late. And weren't you with a teammate that didn't come back at all? So, a lot of these athletes think that the media is supposed to support them and give them the benefit of the doubt and be like on their side. Like, we're supposed to root for them. Well, the idea is to get the information out there, and he broke protocol, period. And he was quarantined for it.
Well, Don, guess what? The heavyweight title and legacies of two legends are going to be on the line this Saturday night, all right? I've talked about it all day. UFC 252. You got Miocic versus Cormier 3. This is going to be one of the great fights you will ever see because the first two were incredible. Two of the great heavyweights of all time. Many believe whoever wins this is the all-time GOAT at heavyweight. I think that's a reasonable argument to make. It's available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99 or get UFC 252 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $84.98. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/PPV. Going to be a good one. And that'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you, sir.
Loved it. Loved every bit of it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.